Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and yes, congratulations on over 10 years of broadcasting, that's right, a decade here on liveparanormal.com. And thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder. Thank you for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys over the years for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all your support over the years. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and then you're part of the LP family. And we hope everyone's keeping safe out there. Today, we welcome back ghostorian, researcher, filmmaker, broadcaster, and Amazon best-selling author of 8 historic paranormal books, including A Walk in the Shadows, A Complete Guide to Shadow People, and his latest release, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, Mike Ricksecker. Mike has been featured on Travel Channel's Alaska Triangle, Discovery Plus, Fright Club, Animal Planet's The Haunted, Bio Channel's My Ghost Story, and many more. Everyone visit MikeRicksecker.com and HauntedRoadMedia.com, ConnectedUniversePortal.com, YouTube search Haunted Road Media, Twitter and Instagram at Mike Ricksecker. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other guests securing their dates too as well. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. And of course, support the memberships and the vendors here at LiveParanormal.com. The memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month, and Rob's great at rewarding the members here. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, all autographed. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, chip copy of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and just a couple weeks ago promoting here on the show, Kindred Spirits. He's here monthly, along with Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Coppett, Ken Gearhard, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available immediately following the broadcast on the homepage of Life Paranormal as free MP4 iTunes downloads. And so let's bring in the host here, the ghost host. Trying to unmute right now. There we go. Sophia, congratulations on over 10 years here on Live Paranormal.
Hey, thank you. I can't believe it's been over 10 years.
Yeah, and also I want to thank everybody for the birthday wishes today and everything. Thank you guys over on social media and stuff. But, Sophia, you did a great job on the ITC Paranormal podcast here with Rob and Josh. You know, that was a fantastic show where they interviewed you.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I can't thank Rob and Josh enough for having me on their show. It was a lot of fun getting to talk with both of them. And, yeah, just being on the other side of an interview is always really interesting.
To find out about you and your show. Yeah, that's the ITC Paranormal Podcast, and it's available on YouTube right now. But you got a million things. You got all these Twitters, Instagrams, all these different things. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli is 1L and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
All right, tell us about your guest.
Today we welcome back historian, researcher, broadcaster, and best-selling author of 8 paranormal books, including A Walk in the Shadows, A Complete Guide to Shadow People, and his latest release, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle. Mike has been featured on Travel Channel's The Alaska Triangle, Discovery Plus's Fright Club, Bio Channel's My Ghost Story, and many more. Everyone visit MikeRicksecker.com, HauntedRoadMedia.com, ConnectedUniversePortal.com, YouTube search Haunted Road Media, Twitter, Instagram, at Mike Ricksecker. Let's welcome him back into the show.
All right. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me back, Sophia. Congratulations on the 10 years. That is absolutely phenomenal. That's a lot of work.
Thank you so much, and thank you again so much for coming back on today. How have you been doing?
I've been doing pretty well. Very busy, actually.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've been doing good, but you are very busy. I mean, besides writing books, you also run some podcasts and shows. Can you tell us a little bit about those shows?
Yeah, sure. I'm currently the host of The Edge of the Rabbit Hole. That is, you know, kind of like you, we bring on guests and we interview a lot of different people, myself and Victoria Monday, and we run that out there on YouTube, so it's the Edge of the Rabbit Hole YouTube channel. That's on Tuesday nights. We changed the time this year to 8:30 p.m. We actually got our start as a radio show on Live Paranormal, so do appreciate Rob for the start on that years ago. And then on Wednesday nights, I have Connecting the Universe, which is an interactive class, kind of moved it from just a straight podcast live stream to an interactive class that people access on Wednesday nights. That's at 8 o'clock p.m. It goes up as a podcast again later, but it's a much more interactive show on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, like you were saying, you're very busy with your schedule. What kind of initially made you want to start both of these shows, and just how did that come along for you to collaborate with Victoria?
Yeah, Victoria's actually my second host. The first one was Vanessa Hogel, and she had approached me, this is our seventh season of Edge of the Rabbit Hole, so it would have been, I guess around 7 years ago, in which she had approached me. I guess she had been offered the opportunity to, host there with Live Paranormal. And, she was a little hesitant to do it on her own because she hadn't done anything like that on her own before. And I had already been doing YouTube shows, so she asked me if I'd like to go in on her with with a show. And so, we kind of sat down and I said, yeah, sure. It's something that people had been asking me for a while if I had wanted to, do some radio shows like this. And, we kind of got our start. We did a year on just radio, and then we moved over to YouTube. And really, it's been, it's very much been a blessing in disguise because it really helped me with, just public speaking. When I was a kid, I was always, very frightened of public speaking and had a lot of stage fright and all that, which people might find strange now because I get up there and do presentations all the time. But, after a while, Vanessa had some other ventures that she wanted to partake in with her friend Gwen. And so, so she went off to go do those things about a year and a half ago. And, I kind of left the floor open to bring in other, another co-host. And, the first time Victoria was my guest co-host, she did a phenomenal job, brought her back a second time immediately, and then again another phenomenal job. It was just like, Victoria, why don't we just make this official, you're the new co-host, and mm-hmm. So we've been together now for a year and a half on Edge of the Rabbit Hole.
Well, that's amazing. It's always great, to find someone you work so well with, on interviews and in the field of the paranormal. It's always great to have someone you really connect with on that level.
Oh, absolutely. And it takes a little time to, get the feel for each other of, what are the different cues? Like, it's your turn, my turn to ask questions sort of things. But with Victoria, that happened real quickly, which I think mm-hmm. has been, great, that there wasn't too much of a learning curve to kind of discover each other's styles. She asked, and another thing is she asked different questions than I do. So we mm-hmm. could go down just one path with whatever conversation I would want to steer it, but she has some other questions that she'll pose that are a little more out of the box. It's like, oh, I never even thought of that question. Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always great to have that kind of different perspective on shows and, like I said, in the paranormal, because that's really what the whole field is about, is just, trying to figure out what's going on in the afterlife or just with the unknown and different ways as possible. But, since you've written books and started a radio show, what kind of initially led you for your interest in the paranormal? Did you have experiences as a child, or were you just always interested?
Yeah, I had experiences as a child. My first real significant paranormal experience was with a shadow person when I was about 8 years old. Woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this tall, dark figure standing in the corner of my bedroom. Had no idea about, shadow people or anything like that at that time. I just thought there was an intruder in the house and it was about to kill me, because that's, about what you think at 8 mm-hmm. years old. Fortunately, I'm still alive to tell the tale, which is great. but it did do something very unusual. It approached my bed. I'm trying to scream. Nothing's coming out of my mouth because I'm just so terrified. And it leans over my bed. I'm looking up into its face, and it's just a dark, blank face. There's no eyes, no nose, no mouth, nothing, no features. But it got physical with me. It grabbed me by the wrists and crossed my arms across my body, which is totally bizarre. And then after doing so, it ran off down the hall. And by that point, I found my voice, found my legs, ran off screaming to my parents' bedroom. And, I have very nice parents, and they tried to console me and mm-hmm. calm me down, tried to tell me that I just had a bad dream, but I knew that I was awake for this whole thing. This was not a dream. That's the only experience I really had like that in that house. So I could not say it was a haunted house. We lived there for about 10 years. The next house I moved into, it had, for about the first 4 months there, some significant shadow activity going on. Very, very different type of shadow entity there. It was more translucent in nature, wasn't wasn't really solid like this other one was, and it didn't really interact with me except to look into my bedroom, and it would just kind of like peer in, and then I turn and look, and it would take off, and that lasted for about 4 months. So I was having these different experiences as a kid. Had my first little paranormal investigation when I was about 15 years old, and again, didn't even know that's what we were doing at the time. Paranormal shows weren't out at the time, except for like In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. That was about it at the time. My one friend had said that she thought her house was haunted. So myself and my other friend, went off to, go check out what this haunting was. We were on our own little investigation. So yeah, the interest has always been there. I had these experiences, and as an adult, it kind of found me. I kept researching and delving into the topic. And then, as far as the books, my first couple of books were actually mystery novels. And then, kind of the proposition to write Ghosts of Maryland fell into my lap. And it's been a whirlwind since then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very scary experience to have at any age, but especially so young. So it's really great that you took those experiences, to write books for other people's information and knowledge if they're going through something similar with shadow people or just hauntings in general.
Oh, absolutely. Writing's always been a part of my life. I've been doing that since I was seven years old. But one of the purposes of the books, especially the Encounters with the Paranormal series, it's a four-volume series in which it's not just my experiences shared in those books. It's also experiences from other people, so that if you can't relate to the experiences that I've had, perhaps there are experiences from other people you can relate to and realize that you're not alone in this. So many other people in this world have had similar type of experiences.
Absolutely. And can you tell people, what kind of is in the contents to A Complete Guide to Shadow People and where people can go and buy it?
Yeah, Walk in the Shadows, A Complete Guide to Shadow People. So there are four main sections to that book. The first section of the book is on all different types of shadow people. So like humanoid figure, hat-wearing entities, the crawler, hooded figures, all that sort of thing. So it's kind of like your basics of shadow people. Then again, the second part is on sleep paralysis and how people experience old hag syndrome a lot of times in the middle of the night when they witness these type of shadow entities. The third part of the book gets really deep into what these shadow entities could possibly be. Are they human spirits that can't fully manifest? Are they extraterrestrials? Are they interdimensional beings? And the list kind of goes on and on of a lot of different things they could possibly be. There's a section in there on shadow animals as well. And then the fourth part of the book, the question about, are they all evil? Are they demons? That sort of thing. So a little bit on the darker side. You can find that now on my website, MikeRicksecker.com, Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. There is an audio version out there as well, so you can get that on Audible. The second edition is in print. Audible has the first edition, but I'm recording the hardback edition that's going to be coming out here soon. So there'll be a hardback option, and then the audiobook for the hardback version will be out soon as well.
Well, I mean, it's really great because, I've seen a shadow person before, and I think that a lot of people have lots of theories, like you mentioned, on shadow people, but I think it's not necessarily, with so many differing opinions on what they are, it's easy to kind of research and figure out, like, when you just look up and Google ghosts. So I think it's really helpful for people who are, experiencing that frequently or have just seen something and it confuses them to kind of have this book to gain some knowledge from it and try and help them with whatever they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the idea, that hopefully with some of the information in the book, they can kind of, figure out and decide what their particular experience is, because, there's not one single answer for shadow people. I'll get asked all the time, okay, what exactly is a shadow person? And it's like, well, that's kind of like opening up a whole can of worms, because they could be a variety of different things depending on the particular shadow. There's no one single answer. So hopefully this provides some insight and some answers as to what these things could possibly be when somebody's having an experience.
Absolutely. You know, when you're writing books, something like A Walk in the Shadows, A Complete Guide to Shadow People, has to take an extensive amount of research. What is your process when you have an idea of writing a book, and how long does it take you from start to finish to typically write one?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the book. So you know, most books take me about a year to a year and a half. Some may take me a little bit longer. Like the one I'm currently working on, Connecting the Universe, is going to be a much bigger volume and have a lot more information than my other work. But yeah, Walk in the Shadows was a little bit different because I had, you know, my own experiences, which extended back into my childhood. And then over the years, I've collected experiences from people from all over. So that was, you know, a collective work over many years. The actual writing process itself and putting it into book form, you know, took, you know, maybe a year, maybe a little bit more. The latest book, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, took me about a year. And, yeah, the research process is, you know, you're – sure, there's some Googling. I'll admit that. I think we all use that to some degree these days. But, you know, it's interviewing people and going to libraries, researching, you know, old maps and getting into – you know, some different research archives and things like this. So, you know, there may be books that I uncover that are 100 years old, depending on what it is that I'm writing. Or I'm a map guy, so I really love ancient maps. So in Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, even though we're talking about Alaska, I refer to Antarctica there in the last chapter. So I'm digging up the, like, old ancient Piri Reis maps and things like this. So so I try to get my hands into a lot of different material for my research.
Absolutely. And I was actually next going to bring up your latest release, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle. Can you tell the audience what they can expect while reading the book and where they can actually go and purchase it?
Yeah, absolutely. Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, this was inspired by the television show that I was on, The Alaska Triangle. I was in 3 episodes of season 1 and 1 episode there in season 2. I was also stationed in Alaska when I was in the Air Force from 1992 to 1995. So I have some personal experiences that I had also up there in Alaska. And so it was kind of one of those things that, you know, once they brought me into the show and on the side of a mountain up there outside of Anchorage with, you know, a couple of dowsing rods in my hand and they're interviewing me on there at Flattop Mountain, it was like, oh, yeah, I definitely got to write about this. So that ended up becoming the book. Unfortunately, I was able to get that released by the time they released the season 2 of the television show. And, yeah, again, you can find that at MikeRicksecker.com or Amazon. The audiobook for that just finished post-production. Everything's been submitted, so we're just waiting for it to go through the audio review on their side for that to be available on audio, on Audible and iTunes and those types of places.
Well, I mean, I think it's really incredible just all the research you put into these books. I mean, you've done so much research, and I know in the paranormal it can be really hard to sift through fact and fiction. What advice would you actually give to someone who's starting out in the paranormal and wants to get more into the historical side of investigating?
Yeah, you have to do a lot of cross-reference. So you might come across a, you know, really fascinating line of information. Maybe it's in an article or something like that, and it's like, oh, that sounds great. But do some double checking, triple checking. You know, start digging up more articles or start going into, you know, some scholarly journals and seeing if there's anything that can back up whatever it may have been stated in that text. Because, you know, anybody can put any piece of information out there. It could be, you know, completely inaccurate. So, you know, just taking, you know, one source at face value isn't very prudent. You need to do a lot of digging and double checking and cross-referencing the information that you're uncovering so that you're putting accurate information out there yourself.
Yeah. I know from experience, you know, just looking on Wikipedia doesn't always get you the best results when you're trying to go to investigation. It may be quick and easy if you're trying to do it short before, but it doesn't mean that it's probably accurate.
Right, right. And I'll say this about Wikipedia, because if you're in college doing a term paper or whatever, you can't cite Wikipedia because it's not considered a scholarly journal and all that. But it's a great starting point. You know, there's a lot of great information out there at Wikipedia, which, and a lot of it's accurate, but some of it is not. So you can use that as a starting point, be like, that's an interesting piece of information. Again, you know, double check, dig up some more information, cross-reference, all of that wonderful stuff to see if that's accurate. And what's interesting is as you're doing that, you're going to come across additional information that may be even more interesting than what you initially discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why that brought up like a weird memory of in middle school, this boy I went to school with literally copied and pasted an entire Wikipedia page for his report, and he didn't even take out the citation numbers.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I just remembered that, and I was like, yeah, Wikipedia is great when you're kind of looking stuff up, but it's not great for every single reference, especially term papers when you do that.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's great when, you know, you're able to cross-reference the way you do and make it easier for people to find, you know, everything they need to know on a certain subject with your books. I know you also did that for Ghosts of Maryland. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and how that idea for the book kind of came about?
Yeah, Ghosts of Maryland, this was one that kind of just fell in my lap. And sometimes it's just like, you know, I've got to thank the universe or whatever, the universe is looking out for you. Because, you know, something that I'd always wanted to do when I was very young, like I kind of mentioned before, I've been writing since I was 7 years old. So, you know, becoming a published author was always a dream of mine. I did that with my first book, Deadly Airs, which was a mystery novel. And I was in the process of, you know, marketing that and trying to get my name out there. Writing a fiction novel, it's kind of a hard area to really get into because there's so many people out there writing fiction, especially these days where, you know, anybody can, you know, get a book published pretty much. I was out there marketing that, and there was a woman, Dinah Roseberry from Schiffer Publishing, who contacted me about Ghosts of Maryland. She said, you know, I know that you're a fiction writer because, you know, I've seen everything with Deadly Airs, but I also see over here that you have some ghost stories that you've written. I had up on my website, you know, kind of like some freebie short stories, and some of those were paranormal in nature. And she asked me, because I was living in Maryland at the time, and they were expanding their line of paranormal books, if I would be interested in writing a nonfiction book, Paranormal Activity and Ghosts in the State of Maryland. And yeah, I jumped right on that because I'd always had the interest in the paranormal. I'd been kind of involved some way, shape, or form over the years, mostly in research at that point, and was just like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think it's one of those where the universe was looking out for me. And the research for that of Maryland was interesting because I was going to locations across the state that I hadn't, you know, I'd been living there for several years. That I hadn't really necessarily gone to yet. So it was a very different way of looking at the state that I was living in. And that inspired me when I ended up moving from Maryland to Oklahoma to do a similar book on Oklahoma. And that's kind of where, you know, the ball really started rolling for me.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at, you know, the city you live in just kind of from that different angle of just the history of it and just the kind of unknown little tidbits of, you know, oh, you walk by a house every day, but you don't realize it's haunted until you actually start looking. So it's just kind of interesting, just the things that seem normal that have kind of that hidden history behind it.
Oh, absolutely. And then you start discovering all these connections that these different, you know, buildings and families and all these different types of things around the town have had with each other over the years. It could be, well, I'll just use, you know, Alton, Illinois for example, because I spent some time out there, quite a bit of time. And it's just fascinating how, this one little island that had been there, was called Mosquito Island for a while because there are a lot of mosquitoes out there, Sunflower Island. It was called McPike Island because the McPike family owned it for a while, and then became Smallpox Island because the Civil War soldiers in the prison across the river, when they contracted smallpox, were brought to that island as a quarantine and then were buried there. And, there is even, connections there with Abraham Lincoln. He had his famous duel with James Shields on that island, which, they never actually dueled. They kind of like came to an agreement when they were about to duel. But, years later after, people kind of forgot about the cemetery that was there in the island, and they went to dig it up because they're going to put in a dam. And then all of a sudden all these, bodies were being dredged up. And for years afterward down the river, people were digging up bones. But what was interesting to me about this is you had all these different families and organizations and people that were connected to this island or connected to each other in some way, shape or form, even including Abraham Lincoln, to this one location.
Yeah, it really is just, fascinating. I mean, I live in Long Beach, and you just hear about the breakwater and how its connection to World War II, and you can look at your city every day and not really think about, what it was like before, you even existed. So it's just really amazing, to have books like yours to kind of show people just these different sides to life. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporale on LiveParanormal.com. Today, we welcome back ghostorian, researcher, filmmaker, broadcaster, and Amazon bestselling author of 8 historic paranormal books. Everyone, go to Amazon, too, to get his latest release, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, and everyone visit, too, as well, MikeRickSecker.com, HauntedRoadMedia.com, ConnectedUniversePortal.com, YouTube search Haunted Road Media, Twitter and Instagram at Mike Ricksecker. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporale and LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporale, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporale, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporale, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporale on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave left out of the voice intros. They're trying to unmute everybody as we speak in. Sophia and Mike, we have you back in.
Hey, Mike, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me, Sophia. I really enjoy coming back after. I think it's been a couple of years, so I really enjoy being back.
Yeah, for sure. It's always great talking to you and hearing your stories. And, you know, speaking of stories, too, with all the research you've done on so many cases and just places, what has been the most interesting fact you've learned or just the coolest thing that's happened to you on an investigation?
Oh, my God. there's a lot of different things. So I couldn't point out one particular fact, but probably the coolest thing that's ever happened to me on an investigation. A few years ago, we had held our own Paracon for a couple of years there, Hunter Road Media Paracon, and we'd run paranormal investigations at night for those, and we were just finishing up this investigation. It was at Mineral Springs Hotel, Alton, Illinois. Again, you know, all those wonderful connections, and we were in the top floor of that hotel. People who are familiar with it know of Pearl's room. It's a corner suite, which is an unfortunate confirmed suicide. We've got a lot of activity in there. So, you know, we're in there doing an EVP session, and all of a sudden we start hearing some noises from down the hall. So kind of venture out that way, down the hall, looking, and all of a sudden there is this black smoke, this black vaporous form that's forming up at the end of the hall. And it starts coming closer and closer and starts creeping up the wall on the right-hand side of the hall. And you would creep back down, creep back up, and you creep back down. All the while, it's coming closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, one of those times are creeped up that wall on the right-hand side, it formed into a figure, and that figure turned into the apparition of a little girl. And there's five of us there that see her. We're all trying to kind of coax her closer, like, come closer, come closer.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped at this one particular doorway, which we hadn't really gotten a lot of activity in there before, but other investigators in the past had witnessed a girl within that room. And all of a sudden, here's this little girl that's stopping right at that doorway. And what's fascinating to me about this, a couple different things. For one, it was confirmation for me that some of these shadows that we experience are human spirits, because I just witnessed this shadow smoke form up into the apparition of a little girl. But also, even though we all saw her, we all saw her a little bit differently. Like, I saw her fully formed from the top of her head down to about her knees, and then she started to kind of, you know, disappear. So I didn't see her, like her shins and her feet or what have you. But other people saw her fully formed from the feet on up, and then she started disappearing around her head. So so that got me into some additional research about, you know, personal resonance and how, you know, we all experience and see this type of activity. So, yeah, that was one of the most fascinating things that I've witnessed on investigation.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, such a weird thing to have happen, especially since you all saw her just a little bit differently. I mean, it's really cool that you were able to experience that, but, you know, it's always in the paranormal when you see something cool, it always leaves more questions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we never really get a straight answer here. And yes, most things just lead to even more questions.
Yeah, you're like, I feel like, you know, that proves more to me, but what does it prove exactly? Because I still have to figure
right.
it out.
Yeah, definitely. But that's the fascinating thing about this to me. It's, you know, it's one big mystery, and I prefer having more questions. It's like, hey, I got a little bit of something answered over here, but there's just a much deeper rabbit hole that we're falling down here, which, you know, my show, Edge of the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I feel like with all the shows, like you were saying, you had In Search Of was basically the only media you had when you were younger, but there's so much more now. And I feel like, you know, so many more people are open to the idea of the afterlife and the paranormal and just have such kind of like a bigger interest in it. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start out investigating? What equipment should they use, or, you know, just how should they start?
Yeah, so if you're going to start out on your own, I mean, just basic starter gear for, I would say flashlight, because, you know, you want to be safe. Pen and a notepad, you know, which people just tend to forget all the time. Take some notes. But, you know, I after all these years, even though I've played with probably every single gadget that's out there, I prefer the basics. So, you know, digital camera, audio recorder, basic EMF detector. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, all the fancy bells and whistles. Because I believe that, you know, you're going to get your better interactions anyways when you're just talking to the spirits one-on-one, just try to have a conversation with them like you would anyone else. You don't need all the bells and whistles for that. But for a first-timer, instead of just getting a couple of buddies and going out someplace, find a local team that's already well-established, that's been doing this for several years, and, you know, ask if you can tag along, learn, join, whatever it is, instead of just going out there on your own because you've seen it on TV and you're thinking, oh, that's easy, I can go do that. Learn from people who have been doing it a long time, because there's a lot of things that happen on an investigation that you do not see on television. What they show on TV is very, very different to what actually happens on a real paranormal investigation. Even though I do appreciate the television shows, I mean, I've been on some, because they've helped people to become more open to this. You know, it's not all taboo like it had been years ago. So television has done a great job of helping people open up to this phenomenon and tell their story. But I think we can all attest to that paranormal investigations in real life are certainly different than what we see on television.
Absolutely. I mean, they're so different, especially when you're going into, you know, you see on TV these investigators going into abandoned places like asylums and stuff. Usually there's an owner, so they're not just walking in. And typically, if they're permitted to film in there, it's because it's not condemned. And I think a lot of abandoned places people see might be condemned. So there's so many physical dangers, too, that people don't, you know, notice or see. I'm super accident prone, so those are always the things I think about first. But I think a lot of people just kind of forget those.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, safety first, because a lot of these places are very old, especially the ones that are abandoned. You know, you could have some soft wood somewhere fall through a floor, you know, and a lot of these are, or there might be, maybe there's still asbestos that's still around there. And you know, you need to take, you know, a lot of precautions for that as well. So there are a lot of different things that you need to be wary of going into some of these different locations. So that's why I say, you know, go with a seasoned team. And a seasoned team is not usually just going to, you know, go running off into the woods and like, hey, there's an abandoned building over there, let's dive into it. They're a little smarter than that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you would hope so.
You would hope so.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is. There's so much involved in investigating, and it always is good to take notes and just start off simple. You don't always have to have the flashy gadgets, at least not right away, and, you know, just kind of go from there, see what you capture, and kind of base your thoughts and theories off of it, because that's what the field is all about, is just having these different ideas, and, I mean, you'll never officially know until you're there yourself, but it's interesting to kind of hypothesize while you're still here.
Exactly, and I don't plan on being there for a long, long time, but if we can get some more insights into that realm, and then I think that'll just be helpful to kind of ease our minds in passing and knowing when, you know, some of our others are, you know, going to pass on. That's, you know, like, when my grandfather passed away some years back, you know, it was comforting knowing that, because he stuck around for a while, and he was interactive with several members of the family, and he basically was waiting until my grandmother passed, and then when she passed, you know, they kind of went on their own, wherever that is, because we didn't really hear from them again after that. But, you know, just kind of knowing that, okay, you know, I might have a decision here as to, you know, whether I want to stick around for a little while, wait for somebody, and then, you know, we get to move on together. So, you know, all of those things and kind of, you know, compiling information, you know, with the investigations as well, is I'm not worried about when that day comes. I just don't want it to come anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think we all, you know, pretty much feel that way. It's great to know about, but it doesn't, I think, for a lot of people, most of investigators, it doesn't make, you know, death any easier. It kind of, you know, helps us try and figure out what actually could happen to, you know, anyone who's passed on, but it doesn't, you know, change the fact of life, which is hard, but it's still, you know, just something we have a passion about of just learning more. So we know that, you know, when we're there or where our family members are, that they're still happy and safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also, you know, for like some of the more historic spirits, we also become a voice for them. So a lot of these spirits mm-hmm. that are kind of lingering about in these, you know, historic homes or buildings and what have you, they've kind of been lost to time. And, you know, we get to, as paranormal investigators, you know, revisit their stories and bring to life somebody that's been completely forgotten. And, you know, like in a book or on a video or whatever, we can present that story so that they have a voice and they're no longer forgotten about.
Absolutely. And in your personal opinion, with your knowledge of the field, what do you actually believe the afterlife is, and where do you believe that place to be?
Oh, that's the question, isn't it? What exactly
yeah.
is the afterlife? Yeah. Yeah, I believe that there is a kind of quote-unquote home world out there that we go to when we pass on. I do believe in reincarnation, that, you know, we'll have the ability to come back. I mean, I believe I've seen some of those some images from past lives that I've had before. So I think, you know, from this world, you know, we go there. We may choose to, you know, linger around here on Earth for a while for one reason or another. You know, we go on, we get to see our loved ones in that kind of quote-unquote home world and experience that for a while. And we may have the option to, you know, go visit other parts of the universe and other planets and other galaxies and things like that and be able to have those experiences. And I think after a time, we get to the point mm-hmm. where we're like, okay, we've been hanging out at home for a while. I want to go on another adventure and come back to Earth again and relive another life.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, you know, just hearing other people's theories on the field and, you know, just seeing what other people have gathered from their experiences. So I think it's really cool, you know, just to share that on the show and, you know, allow new investigators or old investigators to just kind of hear other people's perspectives.
Yeah, it's interesting because everybody does have a little bit of a different opinion. You know, even people who have had near-death experiences and have seen different glimpses of that other side. You know, if you compare a lot of those different experiences, there are some similarities and there are a lot of differences as well. So, you know, mm-hmm. which one is real, which one's not, I couldn't tell you. But it is interesting to see those different accounts of what may be out there. And then, you know, you also do some research into like past life regression and some, you know, hypnosis sessions and things like that. And there's a lot of interesting information that comes out of that as well. Like, you know, could we even be, if we go through the reincarnation process, could we even be reincarnated onto another planet as an alien life form and live a life there? So a lot of different interesting things out there.
Absolutely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, so I have a couple more questions, but if you could investigate anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
I did that this past year when I was out in Egypt.
oh, wow.
Oh, that was, yeah, it was fantastic. In the Great Pyramid, we had that for 2 hours to ourselves, our little group. And so getting a chance to, you know, bring some of the equipment into mm-hmm. like the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber. We even got into the subterranean chamber, which was phenomenal. Unfortunately, I can't post a lot of that footage. So it's in my mm-hmm. personal collection, but we're going back to Egypt next year, which is going to be great, next February. So I'll tell people right now, I don't have the link and all that yet, but be on the lookout for it. But having already done Egypt, well, we're doing Ireland this year in July. And so going to a lot of those ancient castles, like we are doing an investigation at Leith Castle. So that's mm-hmm. a place I've always wanted to get to. And so we're doing Leith Castle, Charleston Castle, and Spike Island, which is like the Alcatraz of Ireland. We have a few tickets left for anybody who might be interested. So that's been a bucket list item as well. So it's going to be amazing.
Well, that's super cool. You were able to go to Egypt and, you know, kind of investigate there. Did you catch anything?
What is interesting is a lot of the, you know, there's an energy there. Mm-hmm. So in our test, now it's not like we saw any apparitions or anything like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's this idea that the pyramid is tuned to the key of F sharp, which is supposed to be the key that the entire planet is tuned to. So we did some tests with that in there, and sure enough, and I brought a chromatic tuner, and sure enough, yeah, that mm-hmm. that pyramid is absolutely tuned to F sharp. So being able to get validation on that was just truly amazing. But any of those locations, you know, when you step into those temples, there is something amazing about the energy in those locations where you feel it all around you. It's like you're on a contact high or some sort of buzz the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's super interesting that you were able to experience that and are able to go back. I know you mentioned, you know, that you are going to do some investigations next year. Are there any websites, upcoming interviews, events, investigations, productions, or books that you would like to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, grab the latest book, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle. The big thing over the next couple years are the tours. So the Ireland tour in Egypt and Alaska next year that we'll be doing. Events coming up, have ParapsyCon coming up here in May. April is the it's a psychic and paranormal expo. It's a metaphysical and paranormal expo that's in Wisconsin. You check out my website, microexecutor.com, or grab my newsletter, and all that information will be in there. And what was the other Michigan Paracon in August? So, yeah, I have a lot of different events that are coming up here.
Well, you're definitely a very busy person, so I want to thank you so much for taking out the time out of your schedule to come on today. And you're always welcome back on if you have anything you ever need to promote.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me back, Sophie. It's always wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mike.
I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, take care.
All right, Mike. Thanks. We'll talk soon. Well, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Mike was such a great guest, and it's so interesting being able to hear his stories, especially about Egypt. So I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And also on Mike's Instagram, he's got some great pictures from that Egypt trip, too, as well. So everyone, visit MikeRicksecutor.com, HauntedRoadMedia.com, ConnectedUniversePortal.com, YouTube search, Haunted Road Media. And yeah, his pictures, great images he has on there on Twitter and Instagram at MikeRicksecutor. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on MyParanormal.com. We have some great guests coming right into the first year here that are securing their spot. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on MyParanormal.com, Facebook fan page to learn as of the guests as we learn of them real time. So great shows, and we'll see you all next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.